Hello and welcome to the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. It can be found at www.thedisplacedafrican.com. Hello everybody, this is Mwangi here. This is a continuation from yesterday's interview, which began with Susan. Now, as I said, the reason that I became interested in interviewing Susan was because she started up a business from scratch and sold it for six figures. And I just thought that would really help inspire and give tips to anyone who's come to the West in pursuit of material success, which a lot of us have. So this one is pretty much she's talking about a little bit about her business, how she started it, a bit about how she sold it. And let me encourage you, if you do have a business, or if you have started a business, or if you've had any form of success with business, contact people such as myself, contact journalists, and just put your word out there. Inspire other people who are coming out to the West, you know, so that we can all rise together. Let all our boats rise together. Without further ado, here is Susan. Tell people about the business that you started, and, you know, just give a brief nutshell of what happened in terms of the business.
Okay. Yeah, so 3 years ago, I started a business in just aged and disability care. And what I was doing was just to recruit people that were trained in personal care, recruiting them and getting the necessary insurance covers and everything else that I needed legally to make sure the business was legal. And then, yeah, I went out there and marketed myself and just told the providers of the service what I was doing. It took a bit of time to pick up, lots of persistence, lots of determination, and eventually it did break through, and the providers were able to start building confidence in the kind of workers I was recruiting, and eventually it picked up into a nice, beautiful, big business, which I've been doing for the last 3 years.
And how long did it take to pick up?
It took about 2 years to pick up. Yeah, the first 1 year was almost hopeless. You know, the Australian market, like I said again, like I was when I was talking about the labor market, it's the same thing. Nobody wants to be the first one to try a new brand, or, you know, just someone that's coming out there and saying, oh, I'm offering this, but you're really very new. The Australians are not like that. They'd rather work with people who have had an experience. So that normally is the hardest part, you know, but eventually you will get that one person that will sort of try you out. So eventually I did get that one organization that, you know, decided to try me out. They tried me out with one client, and then they put in another one, and eventually they were giving me a lot of work because they started realizing, oh, you know, she's actually serious. She's got really good workers. Because we would send in our workers, and the clients would be so happy. They would talk to their case managers and tell them, whoa, you know, I liked that person that came. She's very mature and what have you. So because of that word of mouth recommendation from the clients, the business was able to grow. So I really was just making sure that I was recruiting personal care workers that knew what they wanted. They were not there to waste time. They were qualified. They were passionate about doing care work, and they shared in my dream in terms of what I was trying to achieve. So my recruitment process was extremely thorough because I knew that was the heart of the business. So, yeah, and then everything just grew from that.
And why did you choose that particular industry in the first place?
Because it is a growing industry. The Australian population is actually an inverted pyramid where it's very heavy at the top, because you've got all these baby boomers that are now going into their 60s and their 70s, and they now need some sort of care, you know, because of old age, they need help, they need a lot of care. So there's a lot of nursing homes that are opening up to accommodate them. There's a lot of need now also for home-based care for those who need very low care. So because it's such a growing need, then there is a growing demand for those sorts of services around here right now. So anyone that's doing a good job and is serious, then there is an opportunity. So I just saw a market opportunity, and it's something that I was already doing. Like I was qualified to do, and having been in social work, I already had contacts that would, you know, that I sort of could use to, you know, to start building up a credible business.
Assuming like someone wants to come in and get into that industry, what are some unique things that they should keep in mind? What are the most important things for them to think of?
I think the most important thing is to when you're selling yourself, you have to really be confident in what you're doing. Don't get into it because you think it's quick money, because it's actually not quick money. You really have to build build the foundation of your business very, very well. Make sure it's a secure foundation in terms of, and the main fundamentals of that kind of business would be the workers that you're recruiting, because the workers can put you in a lot of trouble. If you recruit people that are not serious, that are not qualified, that are not passionate, they can put you in a lot of trouble.
And how would you do that? How would you be able to know the ones who are not very serious workers?
I guess it's about really doing recruitment properly. And what I'd suggest is if you don't have recruiting skills, if you don't know how to recruit, I think it's something you need to go out and study before you actually get yourself into this, because you need to be able to be a good recruiter. You need to be able to interview somebody, and in an hour, depending on the questions you're asking them, you should be able to determine that you know, whether that person is serious or not serious. But there are also other ways to know about it. You have to do police check. You have to make sure you check whether they've got any criminal records. That's very, very important in this country. You have to do a criminal check. And secondly, you have to do a reference check with at least 3 referees, 2 professionals and 1, you know, 1 personal referee. You have to do reference checking. The other thing is that, well, for me, what I was doing is that I wasn't recruiting directly from mass media. Like, I wasn't advertising in general media, because in that way, then, I was going to attract people that I didn't know. I was mostly using contacts that I already knew in employment agencies and, you know, those sorts of places where I already had contacts, so that anybody who I was interviewing was already recommended through a certain organization, so that if this person came and did something silly, I sort of had, you know, a process through which I can fall back on someone else who had recommended them. So in that way, before someone recommends someone to you, they have to make sure that the person is, you know, is credible. So for me, I think that's a very important part of ensuring success in this business, just ensuring that your recruitment process is really thorough and you know what you're doing. Secondly, you have to make sure you have your insurance covers to protect yourself, just in case anything goes wrong. Make sure you've got all the necessary insurance covers. If you go to an insurance broker and explain to them what business you want to get into, they will actually advise you on what covers you need, on all the covers that you need. So I found insurance brokers to be very, very helpful in terms of telling me what I needed for insurance. Insurance is very important. And yeah, just making sure that legally you're properly set up. In this country, it's very important to be registered for, you know, for taxation purposes, you know, and just, you know, just legally do the right thing.
How did you ensure that you're within the law?
I think it's important to get an advisor. Most accountants are able to advise you on what you need to do. So, like, my accountant was very helpful in terms of telling me what I need to do, what I need to register with in terms of the government. But also, there are government websites that are very helpful. There is a government department that's dedicated to supporting small businesses. And if you call any government office here, you ask them, they will lead you to that government department. They send you booklets of information about how to set up a small business, what you need to do legally, what you need to do, what you need to watch out on, blah, blah. They give you a lot of information. They even give you information on how to write a marketing plan, how to access finance, you know, things like that. So, personally, I used accountants. But if you don't want to use an accountant, maybe if you don't have the budget for an accountant, you can just use the government department.
What's the name of that government department?
I think it's called Department of Business something. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But if you go to the Department of, maybe Department of Employment, but also if you go to just Centrelink, the Centrelink office is able to help you. The other thing is that the government actually has a program called New Enterprise Incentive Scheme. It's called the NIS program, and it's normally run through the TIF. And it's for people who actually want to get into small business and they need government help. If you go to any of the government agencies, like the employment agencies that are, they're called job network agencies, and just let them know that you would like to register for the new enterprise incentive scheme, they will give you information on who you need to see. The way that program works, you go, you're interviewed, they make sure you've got a clear idea of what you want to do, and if they think that you're serious, they actually engage you in a program where they teach you on business skills, they take you through business planning. By the time you're through with that program, you actually have a business plan, you have a marketing plan, you have a financing plan, so that if you need to borrow a loan from the bank, you actually have a document that is presentable to a bank. And they actually get you a mentor. The system, you know, that program ensures that at the end of the day, they tie you up with a business mentor that can keep helping you for a period of, I think, a year or 2 years. They actually come to check on you. How are you doing? How is the business doing? Everything okay? They actually can also help you do accounting, like balance sheets and what have you, so that on a monthly basis, you know whether you're making money or not making money. If you're not making money, they'll advise you early enough, and they'll tell you, you know what, you probably need to stop what you're doing, or, you know. Yeah, so they're able to show you early indications on how your business is doing. I know a lot of people. I know a lady, an African lady, that has opened a saloon using the new enterprise incentive scheme. I think, actually, I know two ladies that have opened saloons using that program, and it's very, very, very helpful. Yeah, but you have to be patient, because once you sign up, you cannot stop in between. If you stop in between, then they stop supporting you. So you have to go in and do the whole program, and then they'll be with you all through. Personally, because I already felt I had enough skills, I had enough educational qualifications to actually do it by myself, I did not go through the NIS program. I just used my previous experience and used my support of, you know, my community support and family support to set up my business. So I didn't go through the NIS program.
Okay. And you eventually sold a business. And what are the most important things to keep in mind when selling a business like that?
When selling a business like that, I think, let's see, the thing to put in mind is the valuation, so that you can, you know, you can make sure that whatever you're getting is really value for the business. So with the valuation, you know, there are companies that, you know, that come in and do the valuation, and they will ask for certain documents. So I guess what I learned was that if you're planning to sell if you're setting up a business knowing that you're going to sell it in a period of time, say in 2 to 5 years, could you make sure that you keep your books right? Just make sure your books are up to date. Make sure everything is really, really, your figures, everything, you know, your database, your files, you know, all that. Because when it comes to that point of selling, the valuers come and they want to see everything. The prospective buyers also want to see everything.
And so, the companies are called valuation companies.
Yeah, you can get a valuation company. Yeah, that they just come and they actually value the business for you. They tell you what the value of your business is. And
okay.
It's really based on a lot of information that they'll ask you for. They come and sit with you. They ask you, what were you doing? What were you producing? Or what service were you giving? Show us the figures. What profits were you making? Show us your tax, your returns, you know, for last year. Show us this and that. So you really have to make sure that you've got all your documents in order. It will really make it easier for you if you've been putting your documents in order. If you haven't, then it's very, very tough, because then you're forced to, you know, start running around, which is what I had to do. I had to run around because I hadn't really put everything in order. So it was a big learning experience. If I ever had to run a business again, I would make sure that, you know, my document keeping is really, really, like, really good, you know.
And this is mainly in terms of accounts?
Yeah, it's mostly main in terms of accounts, even in terms of whatever it is, information about clients, information about the products, you know, any databases, any incidents, anything, because they want
incidents. How would incidents affect the valuation process?
That's not for the valuation. It's mostly okay. for the prospective buyers. If it's this sort of industry, they want to know, like, how many incidents have you had? How many times have you been sued, for example? How many times have workers claimed work cover? So, like, all those sorts of things, you need to make sure that, like, you've been filing properly, you've got data, you know, everything, any communication with clients and everything. So just making sure that your files are really up to date. For valuation purposes, mostly it's just the balance sheets and, you know, the profits and loss, and also in terms of, yeah, the industry. Like, for example, you find out right now with aged care, you know, it's easier to sell an aged care-based business right now because everybody can see the opportunity in it. So it's also about, yeah, what industry you are in. So you find that, you know, like a business in a certain industry will probably get less than a business in aged care would do because someone, you know, a potential buyer can see much more potential in an aged care-based agency or something like that. So it's really based on a lot of things, but eventually they'll nail down to a figure and they'll advise you. They'll give you a range. They'll tell you that, you know, you can sell your business from, you know, this amount to this amount, you know. So, and, you know, it costs money, but I think it's worth it to have your business valued.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise you may end up underselling or overquoting, in which case then you won't get any buyers.
This has been the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. You can find it at www.thedisplacedafrican.com.